recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Bechorot is Daf Lamed Tet, brought to you by Beit Chomot Yerushalayim, and we got up to the two dots. Teku. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos Omer. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos gave a shir in the Mishnah to how it is that we could be koveya that the mum is kovua. Because the only way you could check a chavarvar, which was the white flecks in the eye, is over a period of 80 days. Now, you certainly can't sit there, stare at it the entire 80 days to know that it was the same mum. So how do you check it to know that it was kavua? So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos said that you need to do a bedika 3 times in the course of those 40 days. Says Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, that's only if they precisely are split throughout the 80 days. Now, this is 3 times besides the original time that you looked at the mum, which means that you've got to check it at 26.5, and then you check it on the next time exactly a 53. So, in other words, it goes precisely by the 3, because Rashi learns the reason it has to be so precise, because otherwise, I mean, it doesn't. To say that there's no other way to know that it didn't disappear in the nafkamina by half a day is going to make that nafkamina. Rashi says because the derech is that the mum actually of this type, chavarvar, lasts for that long. So for that exact amount of time. If it was going to disappear, that's when it would disappear. So it's a type of mum that disappears at those intervals. Because of that, you need to be there at the interval. It's not stop that you're checking it to create a chazok. That's his approach to the circuit. Boy, Minei Pinchas, who was Shmuel's brother. Now, Pinchas, Shmuel's brother, was not known to be a big Talmud Chacham. And he asks Mar Shmuel, what would be the din if we went through that whole process in the Mishnah, trying to get rid of the Mayim that are Kavuim, and we fed it a particular medication that had the special feed, and it ate it velo itzi. And it turns out, indeed, it's really a mum. The question is it a mum retroactively, or is it a mum only from that point on? So, is it lamafreyam v'mumum ikan alabahavimum? Who cares? He'll ask, goodbye nafkamina, tremendous nafkamina. Suppose we're not talking about a bechor. Suppose we're talking about pidyon kachi. Somebody went ahead and was paid on the basis of that mum, before it completed the entire treatment. So we didn't know at that point that it was a mum kavua. If retroactively it was a mum kavua, then the pidyon, even 2 weeks before, was a good pidyon. Therefore, the nafkamina would be that the money of that pidyon would be kadesh, and if somebody had used it for chulin, he would be mayo. A big nafkamina. Nafkamina linimal bipidyano I amrit lamafreya avimuma. If you're going to tell me it was always a mum, even retroactively, so then the pidyon was a good pidyon, in which case it was kodesh and it was mayel. But if it only becomes a mum after the test, imikano lahavahave muma, then at the time that you made the pidyon, you make the pidyon a mum over, and therefore it's not kodesh, somebody used the money lo mayel. My Shmuel was absolutely amazed. I mean, his brother never asked him a question that could stump him. So he said, man, oh man, this is like the pasuk in Yeshayahu that pischim buzzes who buzz. Mamash, people that can barely walk, they end up walking off with all the spoils of the war. My brother finally got me. The boy could barely think. Continues the Eilat Mishnah. Moving on to the same type of mumin, which is nikev nivkamanista. We've been talking throughout when we were dealing with the Risei, and we were talking about 3 types of issues, a hole in which nothing is missing, but large enough that you can see that there's a hole in whatever it is, whether it was the ear we were talking about, or we're going to talk about now the nose, or nifgam, where there's a piece of flesh that's missing, or nistak, where there's a slit. So the nostril of the nose, chotmo, shenikev, vishenifgam, vishenizdak, there are two, hole, missing, or slit, or the lip, shenikva, shenifgama, vishenizdaka. Tana Rabbanan, what about the septum? Nikvu chotmim zelatok. How about if the septum between the two nostrils had a hole going from one to the other? If it's visible mibachutz, then it's harei zemun, because remember, it needs to be like biser viver, it needs to be something that is a mumsh begalui. But if it's only internally in the septum that you can't see from the outside, like this, you would see if it's close to the end of the nose, it's very evident. But if it's inside, then ain't on boom. Sifato, the next case we had was the lip. Shinikva vishinivigama vishinizdaka. Again, Omer Flip, of course, what we're talking about is the tura bradisvate. We're talking about the lip that was visible from the outside, because otherwise, I mean, it would be a mum shebifnim, not a mum shebegadui. And now, at last, we get to the part of the Mishnah that is talking about what we called up until now, just for the sake of brevity, chutin hachitzonot, the outside teeth. And that's normally what it would mean, but now that we get to the Mishnah, we're going to have to explain it a little more clearly. Tosis pointed out much earlier that we're not really referring to teeth, because teeth that are chaser, as opposed to a case by Shein V'ayin of Yotze L'chinam, teeth are really, it's the derech for teeth to break or to fall out. A missing tooth is not a problem. It's only where there's an impact on the gum that holds the tooth. That's the meaning of the chutin. So those chutin, chitzoniot, nifka migmamu, or where it's literally a hole, the gum was removed in the pnimiyim, that is considered to be a mu. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignoi somer, in botkin, we don't even check out a mum from the case of the tiyomet, or some have the matimot. The tiyomet is the double teeth of the molars. So where there's two parts of a tooth. No. Each one is like a two-part tooth. That's the difference between the molars, where the tooth expands and it's wider. We don't check inside the mouth from, we're going to explain this very soon in the Gemara. But the Giras and Rashi seems to be not the tiyomet, but rather the ti'imot. The ti'imot, he says, those are the double teeth that we call the molars, where each one looks like two teeth. So we don't check the mouth from that point. Ezehu, the aflo at the tiyomet, we don't look even not only from a molar in, but not even the area under the molar itself. Now, turn around. Hatiyomet. When we say hatiyomet, ezer tiyomet, now none of this is going to make sense. The Gemara's going to come back to it in a minute and say, what the heck are you talking about? But right now, we often find that kind of situation, and we first will read it, and then we'll try to understand what it means. So hatiyomet, Tanakama says, well, tiyomet, oh, what do we mean by tiyomet? We mean minat tiyomet levifnim, which makes no sense. And the tiyomet atzma is kelifnim. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafutzai Omer, well, you can only shecht on the outside, not on the inside ones. And Rabbi, which seems to be the same thing. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna says, nah, you don't even look at a tiyomet, which seems to be the same thing. Emeshkich ala tiyomet koli. Okay. So the Gemara asks, what? Mike Omer, it didn't even make any sense. What do you mean? A tiyomet, is a tiyomet, min a tiyomet, if you keep self-referencing your words. It doesn't make any sense. And then Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafutzai, it's just repeating what the Tanakhama said, that the chitzonot, not the molars. I don't get it. Answers the Gemara, obviously this whole baraita is only going to make sense if we change the words. It's got to be chaser. And it also is referring to not the tiyomet. It's asking ezel hapnimit. As we said before, in the Mishnah it says, and the baraita was coming to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, chutina chitzonot, and the pnimim are different. So it's asking, and what is the pnimim? The pnimit is from the place of the molars, minat yomet vilifnim, including the actual first molar, vet yomet atzma kelifnim. Ba med varim amurim, shenivgamu v'shenigmamu. But, as we said before, the Pnimiyim Shene'ekru, and that Tanakhama is saying what the Mishnah is saying. If the gum was actually taken out, that would be a pagam, a mum, begalut. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafutzoi Omer, Ein Shochatin El Alachitzonot. Not true. You say the Pnimiyim are also important if they were Ne'ekru? You're not going to Shecht a Bechor on Pnimiyot Shene'ekru. You're only going to shech. That's why he's stressing the word shech. You're only going to shech, meaning you're only going to be mate the bechor for shechita bibachutz on the chitzonia. The pnimiot, look, the pnimiot, if they were ne'ekru, pnimiot shene'ekru, you're still not going to shech. Mishkat alay lo shech. It's true, I agree that it's absurd. You don't bring it on the mizbeach. But let's not go so far as to say this is a mum shebegalui, and you can actually shech the bechor as a balmum. No way. So there you're stuck. You can't bring it on the Mizbeach, but you also cannot treat it as a Bechor Balmum. Whereas Rabbi Hanina ben Atigna says, nah, it's completely meaningless. And Ein Mashkichina al Tiyomet Koikar, you pay no attention to the gum in the area of the molars, Vafilu Yifsuli lo Yifsul. It's not even possible in Mizbeach. Now it makes very good sense. We have three Shitot. Tanakhama says it's considered to be Mamish Amum, if it's Ne'ekru, but even though it's Bifnim, and comes along now Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafutzoi to say it's a mum, but it's only a mum to possible in this bag. It's not a mum to actually share. Comes on Rabbi Hanina ben Atignas to say it's not even a mum, and you can bring it on the Mizbeach. Boy, Rav Achta, boy, Bar Ami. This is all very nice when it comes to a mum. I understand that a mum, we learn out from the Pasuk, where it's clear that the Pisach Uiver is dafka begalui. But what would be the din of mechusar aver? Suppose it's missing a kidney, for instance. Now, you don't see this outside. It's an organ inside. So, but, I mean, obviously, a mechusar aver is a lot worse than just a mum. So this is my question. When it comes to mechusar aver, I mean, for instance, a bird, which is not possible with a mum, but it's possible with mechusar aver. So a mechusar aver mibifnim, does that count? Yesh mechusar aver mibifnim, or ein mechusar aver mibifnim. In terms of what? Lamai, are you talking about a bechor? I mean, bechor, it says beferish, piseach, O Iver. No? I mean, isn't that begalui? I mean, you're talking about other kachim. Other kachim also. You want to be paid to other kachim. It says beferish, averet, or shavur. I mean, these are all mebachutz. So, what are we talking about? No, you don't understand. I'm not talking about shechita. Certainly not talking about bechor. To not talking about piruke. I'm not talking about pidyon in terms of kachim. Loi bailon. That's my question. My question is the Gabi passing it on the Mizbeach. To pass it for the Mizbeach, you don't necessarily need a mum. You need for it not to be tamim. And then it'll be puzzled to us. Tamim. So what is the meaning of tamim? That's my question. Lav Suleimai. When it says in the Torah, tamim yihye l'ratzon. I mean, that could mean it can't be chaser at all, because it is not tamim, Amar Rachmana. Tamim in, but chisaron lo. Or perhaps tamim yel ratzon is linked directly to the next words, kol mum lo yebo. In other words, tamim yel ratzon is defined by kol mum. It's not adding some new thing which would have included im chusar aver bibifnim. That's my question. Odilma tamim yel ratzon kol mum lo yebo. Just like a mum is me'avroi, so too is a chisar me'avroi. Only on the outside, begalui. Just like we learned out from Biseach Oiver, or we learned out from Averet or Shavuot.
Missing an inner
organ is not necessarily. No. Toshma. Let's bring a raya from the following two brightot. One brighta says, when the Torah talks about hakrava, so it speaks of shtei haklayot. Shtei haklayot seems to be stressing this animal better have two klayot and not just one kidney. Below ba'al klayachat, and it must have two klayot and not three klayot. Because again, our klal is, if you remember from Elotrephus, kol yeter is kecheser. And yet, another brayta says the exact opposite. The same pasuk that speaks about the shtei haklayot also speaks of the word al haklayot yisirena. So yisirena, mashma, even if there's only one. L'rabot ba'al kuya achat. So which way is it? Now, well, the reason we're bringing this as a riot is because initially, where our assumption was, savrua, dekulei alma ein b'riya ba'achat, that if we're taking for granted that nobody holds that congenitally there's a single kuya. In which case, if we are presented with an animal that only has one kuya, clearly it has been removed, it has disappeared through illness, whatever, but it's definitely chas, right? Should say v'ha. V'ha mitzvah chas. So therefore, we are not looking at an animal that's shalom, we're looking at an animal that's chas. If that's the case, then these two braitot would probably be explained as arguing in a simple question. Lema ba'akam izlegeh. Your question. Mar savar chisaron mibifnim shmei chisaron. And therefore it's gotta be two klayot. Whereas mar savar, nah, it doesn't matter. Yisirena is telling me, even if there's one kilya, because look, chisaron mibifnim, lav shmei chisaron. There you go. There's your answer to machloket tanai. Says Igmar, no. There's no reason to say that. Suddenly, a contrary. Everybody may agree that there's certainly such a thing as a congenitally single-kidneyed animal. And it could be that everybody agrees that had it been a chisaron bibifnim would in fact have possibly for the mizbeah, shmei chisaron. The two braitot don't even argue. What we could be talking about is two different cases. One, where an animal originally had two klayot, and now it was chaser. And the other case, where it says it's kosher yesiren, it's talking about congenitally one kidney, and that's not chaser. See, if it's not chaser, then it would be kosher. Just think about it, that is the most it's completely unreasonable. Because the case of the one is talking about the same as the case of the three. It says, can't only have one and it can't only have three. Now you're telling me the three wasn't congenital? Obviously it was congenital. So then the one was congenital. If anything, it's the other way around. The Mandi Amar who's talking about three is obviously talking about a congenital problem. The other Mandi Amar was the one you could say is not talking about a congenital problem. The way you're reading it, it makes absolutely no sense. You're saying the one that said three is talking about where it was chaser. Ah, come on. No, you're right. Okay, let's see how it's done. Vadumia de shalosh katani. If shalosh is congenital, it's mikara, then afachat has to be congenital. Therefore, we need to redefine it. Elohacha, maybe the question between these two braitot is indeed a machloket, but the machloket has nothing to do with our question. Hacha b'yesh b'riya mikara kamiflaget. Maybe they're simply arguing about whether one should assume that it's congenital. So mar shava yesh b'riya b'acha. One man the armor says, this is not a chaser. This is probably just congenitally single-kidneyed. So that's one explanation, which means it's not Nogeas. Rav Yochanan Amar, well, actually, it would be Nogeas, because it would mean the Mandi Amar who says that it's chaser, it's obviously saying if he's sorry, if he's a chisorn. Rav Yochanan Amar, the Kulei Alma, ain biri abachat. I would say, we could learn that everybody agrees, there's no such thing as congenitally, or that we should need to worry about it being a congenitally single-kidneyed animal. And everybody may agree that chisorn bibifnim is a chisorn. So how do you explain the fact that yisirena means that it's kosher? That's not a problem. There's two different cases. Kan shechasra kodim shchita, and kan shechasra le'achar shchita. So if it was missing a kidney before the act of shchita, then indeed it was a chisaron mibifnim. But, and it would be possible. But if you took the kidney and destroyed it after the shchita, but before kabbalat adam, then it would be kosher. It would. The Gemara, la'achar shchita kodem kabbalah, before your mekabel adam, if you remove an internal organ, mishari, you're telling me that kabbalah sadam is kosher? The Omer Rabbi Zera Amarav, hatzoreim ozenapar, there was talking about the par koi Mashiach, which is a particular par where he makes a mistake in Hayrah, but it's basically, it's because we learn it out of this posik, but from here we apply it to all kachim. So if you make a mum, even in the ear of the par, and this is after Shemitah. So the animal's already shechted. Then you go ahead and you're mekabel adam, it's possible. Why? Shenemar v'lakach bidam hapar, instead of saying v'lakach midamo. Why does it repeat bidam hapar? Because it's saying the aforementioned par, just the way that it was before, no pronouns. It's the same par that it always was. Hapar shayakvar. So that means that the Lekichas Adam, which is the Kabbalah, cannot be from a par that has now missing its koya. Obviously, it can't even be from a par that has a cut in its ear. All right. Let me restate that. Khan, the difference in the cases is not before and after Shechita. The difference is before and after Kabbalah. Then the same idea. Okay, so you moved it up a step. So Khan, Shechosu Leacher Kabbalah. And then Leacher Kabbalah, then it would be kosher. It wouldn't be. Leacher Kabbalah, Kodem Zrika. And if it's before Zrika, it's going to be kosher. Vatanya, Se Tamim, this is talking about a Korban Pesach. Se Tamim, Zachar Ben Shana, Yihielachem. What's a Yihielachem? Just say it. It shall be for you. That means, whenever we use that word yeh, we always mean that it has to be so defined existentially, not, so it's yeh, it's a being word. That means that it has to always be a tamim and a ben shana, whether it's talking about sha'at shchita or so on. So let's see that inside. That means it has to be tamim ben shana b'shat shchita. But how do you know, even for Kabbalah, for Halacha, for Hazaya, Talmud Amar Yiyeh, anything that makes it into a Korban Pesach, Kol Havayotav, anything that brings it into being, requires exactly the same. Tam ben shana, tam. So then that would mean if I remove the klaya before the zrika, it's also going to be Pesach. I mean, maybe that wasn't referring to the Tom part, because Tom is meaningless. I mean, if you already been mekabel the dam, but I mean, who cares? It must be referring to the age of the animal. If it became post 1 year old after the kabbalah sadam, then it's possible. And by the way, achinami mistabra. That's only reasonable because we know that the din is the Tanya Rabbi Yeshua Omer kol hazvachim shebatorah any korban, including korban Pesach. Where even if there's only one kezayit basar left, or kezayit chelav of the emurim that's left, you still do the zarek adam. I would assume that if that's all that's left, it's probably missing a kidney and a lot of other stuff. So obviously, chisaron does not matter before zrika. So here it's only referring to being 1 year old, shmamina. So what are you talking about? If it was 1 year old at the time of the zrika, how did it get to be 2 years old at the time of the zrika? Me eke meeting. Is there such a thing as bishat shchita? It's only 1 year old, but bishat kabbalah v'olacha, it's 2 years old. Omar Rabba, yes. This shows that you count to the minute when it comes to kachim. You don't count by the day. Zot omer shaot pasot bekadashim. So if it was still within its first year when it was 9 o'clock in the morning, but by the time it was 10 o'clock when they got around to the zrika, it was already after its birthday, and therefore it was possible because now it's ben shtayim. Remember that 2 years old in the Torah means in its second year. It doesn't mean it's 2 years old. So it only takes a minute. Anyway, getting into, so we don't have a rhyme, okay? So the question that Rav Achtavoy asked is, I suggest, is Olema Ketanoi. Let us assume it to be the contents of the following Machlokas Tanoi. So here we have a list in the Pasuk of various, what appear to be mumim, in genitals. So we have Ma'uch, Katut, Natuk, V'charut. So we have these different types of, now let's assume, just to make things easy, let's assume these are referring to testicles. And therefore, what we're talking about is Ma'uch, where there was some squeezing and reduction of size of the testicle. And then we would have Katut, where it was actually ground up. You really gave him a big zetzer. And Natuk, V'charut, natuk would mean that the testicle was pulled off, but it's still inside the scrotum, and it's partially attached. Karut would mean that you used a knife to actually castrate this animal, but the testicle is still inside of the scrotum. So says Rabbi Yehuda, all of those four, mo'uch, katut, natuk, v'charut, are a reference specifically to testicles. Kulam bebeitzim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Says one that doesn't make any sense. I mean, obviously, if these same things had been done to the animal's penis, it would be a lot worse, because that is a mum shebegalui, whereas you could argue that a testicle and a scrotum is not galui. It would be the same thing as having the case that we had in the mouth, where you have the inside of the gum, it's all the way in the back of the mouth, it's not noticeable. So why in the world is a scrotum noticeable? So how could he possibly have said specifically bebeitzim, asked the Gemara? Bebeitzim velo begit? No, obviously he didn't mean that. He must have meant the other direction, that Rabbi Yehuda was saying, even though you might think that testicles are not open mumim, nonetheless, even bebeitzim, divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, no, only the penis itself, not the testicle. Now, that seems to be exactly the issue that we were talking about. This is considered to be a chisaron, and the question is, normally a mum would have to be, at least that's what it sounds like. So that would appear to be the machlokas. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, well, it depends. Ma'uch v'katut, that already would be true af b'beitzim. It would be true of the entire genitals. Natuk v'charot, now that is something which would only be true of the penis, but not of the testicle. The natuk v'charut begid would have to mean that the penis is hanging, cut. But the question is how much cut. So whether is there an attachment of skin or an attachment of actual flesh. With the beitzim, it made more sense. So ignoring for a moment Rabbi Yossi. So my law, apparently, the machlokes, we ignore Rabbi Yossi, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is whether chisaron bibithim ishmei chisaron. There you go. This was exactly the question of Avraham Tavoi. And now we see that apparently we're viewing this as a chisaron. Mar sabar, chisaron bibithim shmei chisaron. Therefore, tainas Rabbi Yehuda, even though this is not begalui, who cares? It's still a chisaron. Whereas mar sabar, no. If it's inside the scrotum, it's not begalui. And therefore, even though it's a chisaron, that doesn't matter. No, come on. How could you think? If that's the machlokas, how do you explain Rabbi Yossi? What, Rabbi Yossi can't make up his mind? So then v'tizba, Rabbi Yossi ma'ikasava, me'manavshach. If he holds chisaron bibifnim shmei chisaron, so then why wouldn't he include natuk v'charut also? Natuk v'charut should also be a chisaron. I mean, you use the knife, cut off the testicle, you're not calling it a chisaron? And if he holds it's not called a chisaron bebifnim, so then afilu ma'uch v'chatut namilo. So therefore, the explanation doesn't hold water. This is not called a chisaron. This is called a mum. And the machlokas is, in other words, could be if there were a chisaron, then enochinami. But this is not called chisaron. These are mumim, because after all, nothing is missing, so it's not really called chisaron. Therefore, the machlokas over here is about mumim, not about chisaron. Getting back to what everybody was talking about before Rav Achtavoy came along. So, el ha'akab mumim shebegaloi kamiflege. Rav Yehuda sava ma'uch v'chatut is called a mum. Why? It's galui. Because the michavtsam, because the scrotum is shriveled because of the changed size of the testicle. Natuk v'charut, where the testicle has been detached, is also galui. Because you can see in the scrotum from the outside that there clearly the testicles are pressing down and are not properly hanging on the body. And therefore they're tying. So even though it's not very visible, but you could see. Therefore, it's considered to be begalui. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, ma'uch v'chatut is not called a mum shebegalui. Because for heaven's sakes, testicles go up, testicles go down, scrotums get smaller, they get bigger, depends on the temperature, depends on the age. So therefore, znamis in the mechavza. You can't really tell that there's been any damage done from the outside. And even natuk v'charut lo havi muma. Even the, you're saying you can tell a testicle's pressing against the scrotum. That happens in normal times too. Mikor nami zimne detalye. That can happen normally. Therefore, you can't say, oh, look at this. Something's wrong with this animal. Whereas Rabbi Yossi savar, now wait a minute. Ma'uch v'chatut, that is a mum. Why is it a mum? Daha, now, Rashi learns that he uses the word v'chisoron, has many different shitas among the Achronim, how to understand Rashi. But Rashi seems to be saying, there's the Rashash asserts it clearly, this has got to be what he means. He says it's a mum, doesn't mean it's a mum. It's a chisoron. Because the haletno, actually you really damage the physical testicle. It's not there if it's been crushed. But natuk v'charut is still there. And therefore, it's only a mum. It's not a chisaron. But a mum, it's a mum mibifnim. It's not a mum. Shebegalui. So lo havi muma da itno. Since it exists, it exists. Continues on the Halakha Mishnah. Nifgam hazoven. If, now remember that in most mammals, except for humans, where their genitals face the ground, they have greater protection. So what in a human is nothing is left but a foreskin. In an animal is a complete penis sheath, and that is called the zoven. So the zoven itself could also be nifga. So the animal's walking and tears the zoven. Now there's a beast that's nifgam. Oh, ha'erya shanekeva bimugdashim. Now obviously it's difficult to find a bechor that has a vagina, but in other kachim, you could actually have a tear through the vaginal wall, the outside, and that would be the labia. So that would be also a mum. So ha'erya shanekeva bimugdashim, or the tail. Nifgam ha'zanav min ha'etzem, avalom not perek, where the zanav itself was nifgam, but it wasn't nifgam just from skin. It was nifgam, because the skin is always heals. But it was nifgam from the area of the bone. That would be considered a mum. O could also be where the top tip of the tail, the rosh hazanav, was maftzil etzem. Maftzil etzem, machlokas for sure, the girsa is not clear. Rashi learns that it means that the flesh was removed, you can actually see the bone. Tosfos learns the bone was muftzal. Rashi learns that it's like Yaakov Avinu, who was patzal, so he's mitfatzel, the wood in the right team. So that's a lotion of exposing. So you peel off the bark, and you can see the white of the wood. Here too, it means mifatzel, not a lotion of pitzul, bifurcation, which is another meaning of pitzul, but pitzul in the sense of removing bark. So you're being removing the skin. Taisus learns it means that bone is split into two. So there, that would be a mum. O shiyesh basar michulya lechulya, meloa etzba. Or, for that matter, if the tail was malformed, so that there is so much space between one vertebrae in the tail and the other, that there's the shear of a etzba, which we'll see is actually a thumb. It's the classic definition of an etzba, 1/4 of a tefach, rather than an etzba, the etzba that we normally call the etzba on the hand. Amar Rav Elazar, you should know, the Mishnah, you'll notice, the Mishnah stresses nifgam. Nifgam means exactly what it says. There's a piece missing from the zoven, but not that the whole darn thing was removed. Velo nital. Nital is not a problem, because if it was nital, then it'll grow back. Furthermore, when it talks about the zoven, it means the sheath itself, the kis. It is not referring to the actual penis. That will actually regrow, not the sheath, will not regrow. Tanyam yachi nivgam velo nital, kis velo zachrut, exactly what Rebbe Elazar suggested. Reb Yosef and Shulman was actually a maisa in Inval, where a fox, a wolf, came along and bit off the entire sheath from this animal, and everything grew back. He got back his full masculinity. Now there's a bright that doesn't define itself. And it says, by the way, when we're talking about an etzpa means 1/4 of a tefach of a normal person. Echad mi arba'a, betefach shel kol adam, not a particular joint that we call the etzpa normally. Now, the Braita just said this in a vacuum. We know what it's referring to. There's lots of places where we talk about an etzva. So, l'mayilchata, what was the Braita referring to? Which din of an etzva? Rabba says, the Braita was referring to the shiur of tchelet for tzitzit, the Tanya. Kama chutinu notein, how many threads do you put in to the tzitzit? Beit Shammai says 4, and then you bend them over, and then you got 8. Beit Hillel omrim shlosha, it's actually 3, not 4. V'kama tehim meshuleshet, how long is the area that is supposed to be the braided part? That is 1/3 of it. So Beit Shammai omrim arba'a, Beit Hillel omrim shlosha v'shalish. Now this is, we're talking about over here, the etzva'ot. Now what we're saying is that this shalosh is probably the the correct gears of the action, say shalish, shlosha. V'shalosh, shebet Hillel, omrim, is echad mi'arba'ah betapach shel kol adam. This brayta was coming to explain Beit Hillel. That's what I think, says Rabbi. Rav Lina Bereder of Yeshua says, no, that's not what he's referring to. Referring to a famous Mishnah about the two different sizes of the actual official amma that was kept in the Beit HaMikdash that was used to measure the work that was being done for Berak HaBayit. And it says in the Mishnah, Shtei amot hayu b'shushan habira. Shushan habira was a picture across a porch above the Shar HaMizrahi. And it was called Shushan HaBira because it had an actual engraving of a picture of Shushan HaBira. And there were two of these Bureau of Standard Amot that were held in the Shushan HaBira. One was on the Keren Mizrahi Tzvonit, and one was on the Keren Mizrahi Dromit, and they were different sizes. Neither of them were the size of the typical amma. They were both slightly larger than the standard amma that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to. So the one, Sha'al Keren Mizrahi Tzvonit, was larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's by a half an etzva, chati etzva. The one on the Keren Mizrahi Dromit was larger than that one by another chati etzva.
Moshe's actual amma.
Well, the measurement of the amma. Doesn't mean his personal amma.
Do we know what he's measuring?
Good question. We don't. We mean the typical amma, human amma. Chatzi etzba, which means that overall it was yitera shabosha, a full etzba. Why did we need two? Well, you see, she, you, omanim, notlim b'ktana, umarzirim b'gdola. Now we now understand that achat ktana v'achat gdola does not mean why do we need two? One a chatzi etzba, one a full etzba. It means why do we need a standard small amma and a larger amma that was kept on Shushan HaBira? The reason was that the standard amma was used for what it is that you're supposed to deliver. Okay, so let's say we measure a wall. We call a construction company. And we say we need to redo this wall. We take the standard amma and we measure the wall. Say it's a 10 amma wall. Okay, so how much do you charge to do a 10 amma wall? So much per amma. When the wall is completed, we use the larger amma to measure the wall and say, well, it's not a full 10 amma, it's only 9.5 amma.
This is probably the source of why blending is so great.
So the reason we do this is exactly as Bobby just pointed out. We need to make sure that they won't come lidei me'ila. In the Chas V'Shalom, somebody would take slightly more from Hegdash, would be a terrible avera. So therefore, we measure with a larger amma that way. It's like when you buy in a makolet, they're supposed to add a little bit to the weight, the hechreya. Okay, so here it's given over to Bezchut Hegdash, we're mevater, and we'll give a little bit more to Hegdash. So, but then why do we need two? I mean, you're saying we're using the standard amma to measure the order and the larger amma to measure the actual work done. So, what's the point of having the two? I mean, we have three. We have the standard, then we have the plus half an etzba, then we have the plus an etzba. So, I understand why we need the standard and why we need the larger, but make up your mind. Either you're going to measure with a half an etzba more, or you're going to measure with a full etzba more. What's the point of having two? Ah, no, that's because it depends what you're working on. I mean, if we ordered a gold-plated wall, I mean, we're going to take a full etzba more of gold plate when gold is up to nearly $2,000 an ounce. I get it. So over there, it's only fair to make it a chatzi etzba. You're talking about stamp construction of stone. There, we'll make it a full etzba. So chada the kaspa v'dahava v'chada the binyan. So one is for gold and silver work. The other one is for simple construction work. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, no, that's not the etzba it was referring to. It was referring to the etzba in a Mishnah Bechorot, of all crazy places, which you might have learned one day. And over there it says, Lo tasha shanino, if Bechor that has an etzba between each vertebrae in its tail, that sounds familiar, that etzba is measured by 1/4 of the common tefah. Which, of course, is why we brought this entire sugya here, of all things. And that's an interesting question, because Tosfos points out, it says there, why can't you remove the whole thing? Like the case by the Zoven, I've got to talk about that also. The case by the Zoven, it says, Velo kids. If it's all off, it'll regrow. So then if something is missing, just cut it all off. Let it regrow. It does this, well, first of all, it could be nifkama. Maybe if it was nifkama first, it's different. But also, it doesn't matter, does it suggest? Because this gets into the issue of repairable that we had yesterday. Something that's repairable, if it hasn't been repaired, doesn't mean that it's on a moon. And it doesn't mean that it's a moon over. There's a difference between something that would naturally change and something that needs something to be done to it to be repaired. So, okay, that's Debbie's continuing. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Omer. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, but the 80 days of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is Bilvad Shil Meshulashim. Oimenei Pinchas, Achud Marshmur Mishmur. How about if we gave it the whole test of the Lach and the Yavesh and so on, and sure enough, it was defined as a mum. V'lo Yitzchak. My question. You'll ask, Lamai Nafkamina? Lemi Ma Bepidiono? Yamit Lamafreya Having Muma. He's going to be Mayel. But if it's only Mikana Lahaba Having Muma, then Lo Mayel, my Karishmua, like, oh my God, he kills me, he kills me. Peace him, buzzes of buzz. Chotmo Shenike Vishenivgam Vishenispax, Famo Shenikva Shenivgama Vishenistika, Tanrabonim. How about the septum? Nikvu chotvim zelatok ze. Depends. Mi bachutz, hare ze mum. Mi bifim, eno mum. Sifato shenikva vishenifgama vishenistika. Omer of Papa, again, has to be visible outside. Therefore, referring to Tura Vara, the sifte. Chut inachit sonot shenifgamu vishenigmu mu. Hapnimim shenekru. Rabbi Chanina ben Antik, no somer. Ein botkin min hat yomet. We had the other girsa, which appears mat imot not yomet milifnim va'af lo et at yomet or nomatima tan rabana tiyomet ezo tiyomet minat yom milifnim tiyomet at smak milifnim rabbi yeshua ben kafut sayomer ein shuchtin al kitzanot bilvad rabbi chanina ben antigna somer ein mashkichin al tiyomet. You tell me what the heck you are talking about, my kama, and what is rabbi yeshua ben kafut say talking about ein atan kama. Obviously, Kisur Mechasa. The real Brighter reads like this. Ezeo hapnimit minat yomet vilifnim and yomet atzvakilifnim. Bamed varim amurim shidif gamash nigbemu. But according to the Tanakhama, if it was totally nekar, then we would even check on that because it's called galui. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafutzai, no. Ein shokatin ela alakitzonot. No way. The pnimiot shinekru, you're not going to shecht on that. Mishkat alay alo shechtinan. I agree, though, that it's pasulam is be'ah, because he stresses shechita. Comes along, Rav Chanina ben Antigna says, forget about it. It's not a mumen anyway. Don't even look at it. Ein mashkichin al atiyomet kolikar. Therefore, afilo yivsul eloyiv, so it's not a mumen, you can bring it on the mizbe'ah. Voy revach tavoy barami, yesh mechusar ever mi bifnim, or ein mechusar ever mi bifnim. What are you asking? For Bechor, it says, pisecho yivarkti. You're talking about being paid a kachim. It says a veritav shavur. I mean, how could you possibly think we're going to include something invisible? I'm not talking about ishkute bifruk eloi baylan. Ki baylan to be passing it from the zbeach. My question is like this. Tamim yihyeh l'ratzon, Omar Rachman, which means, dafka tamim, but chisaron won't be l'ratzon. He came to the zbeach. Odilma tamim yihyeh l'ratzon, like komum lo yebo. Just like a mum is me'avroi, afki saron is me'avroi. Toshma, v'chtei haklayot, v'lo bal klayach kulyachat, v'lo bal shalosh kulyot. Whereas the other brayta says, yisiren na mashmi even one, l'rabot ba'al kulyachat. Now, our assumption was that kulyama hold, there's no congenital bria ba'achat. Therefore, v'had should say, is michsechasim. Therefore, the machloket should be balka b'fnim. My sofer chisaron b'fnim. Shemei chisaron. My sofer chisaron b'fnim. Lav shemei chisaron. Omer Rabbi Bar Yosef. No. Could be kuleyama yesh birya b'achat. Could be everybody agrees chisaron b'fnim shemei chisaron. And there's no machloket. One bright is talking about a case was nivrei pishtayim and v'chasra. Kan kishinivrei b'achat mikara. No. Come on, man. It says achat or shalosh. So that means it has to be dumi to shalosh. Obviously, shalosh can't have been added afterwards. So, afachat mikara. Oh, sorry. Okay. Elohanka, The yesh birya mikor kamitzlagay maybe. Marsava yesh birya bachat, therefore it's kosher. Marsava and birya bachat, it's always possible. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, no. Kulei ama ein birya bachat. Everybody agrees to chisaron mifnim ish mechisaron. The question is when. Velo kasha. Kan shechosa kodem shchita. Kan shechosa achas shchita. No. Achas shchita before Kabbalah, it's not going to be kosher if it's chosa. Vomer Rabbi Zera Marav Atzurim Ozer Hapar Achar Kach Kibel Dam Hopatzol Shemar Kach Midam Hapar Hapar Shehayak Var. Okay, okay. Kan shechosa kodem Kabbalah. I'm sorry. Kan shechosa achar Kabbalah. No. Lacha Kabbalah Karam Zrika. You think that's going to be good? Vatanya said, Tamim Zachar Ben Shana Yelachem, Shei Tamim Ben Shana, Bishat Shchita. How do I know even Bishat Kabbalah, Halacha, Vehazoya? Tamad Lomar, Yihyeh, Yukola Vayotab, Tamu Ben Shana. No, that's referring to Ben Shana, it's not referring to Tam. Okay, now I'm Stavr, the Tan Rabbi Yeshua Mer, Kol Azivachim Shabbat Torah. Even just a kezayit of basar or a kezayit of chela, zoreket adam, shma amina. How could something possibly be 1 year old b'shat shchita and b'shat kabbalah b'alacha b'shtei shanim? Amar Rava zotomer shaot pasot b'kadoshim. What's the problem? Anyway, lema ketanoi. The question of Rav Achtavoy. Chisaron mibifnim. Uma'uch v'chatut v'natuk v'charut kulam b'beitzim divrei Rav Yehuda. Bebeitzim velo begid, that's crazy. No, I mean, even Bebeitzim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, no, only begid. Beitzim are not visible. Rabbi Yossi Omer, it depends. Ma'uch vechatut af Bebeitzim. Natuk vecharut would be referring to begid. That's begid in Bebeitzim lo. So, my la, bokam yitzlegeh. Mar Savar Chisron Mibifim Shmei Chisron Umar Savar Lav Shmei Chisron. Nah, come on, Vetisper of Abiyos Yimaka Savar Ika Savar Chisron Mibifim Shmei Chisron Afila Natuk Vecharut Nami Ika Savar Lav Shmei Chisron Afila Moch Vechatut Nami Lo. So that can't be the question. We're not talking about Chisron, we're talking about Mumim. Akma Mumim Shebegaloi Kamiflaget. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ma'uch Vechatut is called a Mum Shebegaloi. Why? Demichavtsan. Natuk v'charut is called a mum shebegalui. Because you can look at a scrotum and see the talion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov sover ma'uch v'chatut, that's not a mum, mikor nami zimne de mechavtsan. Natuk v'charut is also not a mum, mikor nami zimne de talion. Rabbi Yossi sover ma'uch v'chatut is a mum, because it's a chisorin, Rashi learns. The letnu, natuk v'charut lo avimuma, da itnu. Nivgam azov en o area shel nekeva b'mukdashim. Nivgam azanav min ha'etzem, avalo min ha'perek. O shirosh asanav mefutzal. O shiyesh basar ben chuya l'chuya m'lo etzpa. Omer Abelazar, note, nivgam is not nital. Note, zoven is not zachrut. Tanya nami, ochi nivgam velo nital, kis velo zachrut. Omer Abelazar ben ha'mashul ha'maaseh be'inval. Shenitala zev v'chazar le'etano. Nifkema hazanav mina etzim tana. Etzba sha'omru. Echad mi'arba v'tevach shakolodim. What etzba sha'omru? You didn't say which one. Lama yochata. Omar Rabba is referred to tchela. Tatanya. Kama chutinu noten. Beit shamay omrim arba'a. Beit hilal omrim shalsha. V'kama te mishuleshet. Beit shamay omrim arba'a. Beit hilal omrim shalsha. Now, the shalosh beit hillel omrim is how much? Echad mi'arba v'tev shekoladam. That's what it's coming to explain. Ravuna v'red revshon. No, it's referring to the shtei amot. It's not. Shtei amot ayu b'shushan avira. Achat al ker mizrachit zvonit, v'achat al ker mizrachit dromit. Shal ker mizrachit zvonit, hayta yetera shal Moshe chatzi etzba. Shal ker mizrachit dromit, hayta yetera aleha another chatzi etzba. Which means nimtzed yitirah shama shaful etzba. V'lama ayo achad gulav achad ketana shekeshayu omanim notlim. They would take biktana, meaning the standard, umarzirim begdolah shlo yabalidei me'ila. So why do I need two gedolahs? Lomali. Ah, chode de kasvi v'dahava, it's only a chatzi etzba. Chode de binyan is a full etzba. Rabbi Yenachum bar Yitzchak says, you know what it's referring to etzba? Item Ravuna Bar Natan, to the Mishnah Bechorot. Lo tashish anino, yesh basar ben choya lo choya, melo etzpa. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Today we're holding on Daf Lamed Tes, and the Bechairis we got up to take yesterday for the alternative medicine issues. Continues the Gemara by the two dots, which is one quarter of the way down. So the Chanina ben Antignes, Chanina ben Antignes gives a shir. What defines Shemeinim Yom? The Chanina ben Antignes said Shemeinim Yom is Shalosh Pamim. Hey, the deep. We didn't do this yesterday, correct?
No.
Omer Nakubay Yitzchak, Bovach Yu Mishulashim. I mean, the whole point of Rav Chanina ben Antignes is not to establish some type of kazoka. The idea over here is to provide an interval within which it would not have disappeared. In which case, you don't have to be cheshish, but what you have over here is a mum over that keeps reappearing, and you happen to be noticing it at that point. So if you'll split the Shemeinim Yom. Now here's a machlokas, as I mentioned yesterday, the same machlokas that we have, the Gabe sphere of the Sefer Torah, the Gemara about the Ori Miklat. Are we talking about three sections, which would be 4 points? Are we talking about 3 points, including the first and ending points? To say, it starts to point out, to say that it's precisely the same as the Ari Miklat is impossible, because if you hold that the Ari Miklat means that you have as much distance from the Gvul to point A as you have from city C to the upper Gvul, then that would mean that there's no Vedika Besov, which is absurd. Right? And you can't possibly say that. That would mean, because there's nothing comparable to the Gvul. I mean, you could say when I first saw it, okay, then now we're going to start worrying about it, so that's the Gvul. What's the end Gvul? The end rule has got to be a Vedika then. I mean, it's not precisely the same issue, but the question is, if we're talking about three sections, then we have 4 Vedikas, and then we'd have the 27 days approximately between the Vedikas. Right? That's how Rashi learns. Or 3 Vedikas. You go to 3 times, first, middle, and last. Okay. So that's, but the idea is clear. I mean, whatever the shear precisely is, the point is that he's giving us an actual, realistic way of determining whether this is a mum kavua. It's not some strange aloha out there that having been kaveyat with 3 riyas, and now we assume that it's kavua, that would be silly. He's telling us that it's not shayach, that it should be over if it's done that way. This is a real brother-in-law problem, Gemara, in which and which what happened over here is that Shmuel was asked, Ochal v'lo itzi. My shayla is like this. Suppose it ends up doing this whole achila business, where we said you have to feed it the right foods by the case of ayin and so on. And then it turns out that it doesn't get better. How do I view that? Do I view this is a giwui milsa that all along the mayim were kibuim, or has it become kabua? So it's a matzrei avimum or mitan alabo avimum. My nafkamina, what's the nafkamina going to be? The nafkamina will be a gabit opinion. Lamimal bipidyon. He armed the matzrei avimum in moyo. So now the shayla is like this. Obviously, this doesn't apply to Bechor, but you can't make a pidyon on a Bechor. Remember, it's an equivalent case of a behemoth scotchet, where I went ahead and I was paid it. So the shayla over here is, if I now was pegeya in that pidyon and I used it for something that was usher to use, had it been hekdesh, was I merl or not? So was that, the Rambam learned the shayla, was that a pidyon b'chlal? Rashi understands that as law, apparently he's referring to a case where the Moses are kayomis still. So he says the shayla is it at the time. What the din was of the pidyon. But definitely the pidyon is tafis afterwards, as long as the Moses is going to, because my das is whenever it's right.
which is interesting, the shaila in and of itself, but it's not very much the Gemara Sugi. See, I'm from a free having a memorial at that point. The Yi Mikan Olahaba having Muma, so then no mind. Then it didn't go to Hekish yet. Mine. Tell me, so what do you say? Oy, Lashmo, looks like little things are silly, says, oy, yay, 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 yay. So, Pitzchim, Bozes of Bozes, this is terrible. Although here we have a situation where the lame, they end up going to war and they win. I don't know the answer to that one, but boy, you're not really right to ask a question that stumps me, but darn it, that's what happened.
Like, don't worry, Israel. Don't worry, America. Israel's on your side.
So this Pitzchim, let's take a look, remember, it's all points out, Pitzchim. Is talk of the Gematria Pinchas. Same idea as Pinchas, but what have you done? He told Pinchas, they have it ready, let me tell you. The Shaila is whether it's like Winston Churchill's spontaneous comments that he practices for months at a time. Do you have a list of them for the correct moment or whatever? So, moving on down now from the eyes, we get to the nose. Chotzmo shenikev v'shenivkan v'shenistak. Question is over on the chotzim, the nostrils that have in them a nekev. We'll see, we were talking about a nekev, there was a nekev was without kisorin. Nivkan is with kisorin. Nekev goes through. Sedek is because it's going to spread. The male is no shear. Or sifamo, or the lips, shenikva v'shenivkan v'shenistak. See a little bit more detail. It doesn't mean literally a split lip, which happened. That happens all the time, split lip. It's talking about that, the split on the edge of the lip, where it's bechubur to the or. Now that's already a moon. Whereas if you cut through the chibur, the tip of the lip, the top point of the lip, where the white and the red get together, then already it's a...
Is this only the upper lip?
You've been looking at animals lately?
Yeah. No, it's
just wherever there's a chibur, no,
it's just
swallow.
It's fun, but why don't use,
because it's the Girsa in the. You're right, it's a good point. The Girsa in the Mishnayas and in many of the Gemaras is swept up. It seems to be a. Svamo is not exactly an accurate thing. It's been a bit much on the upper lip. And the Maishma, the Safat, is that in Safat? So, Tan Rabban, Nikru Chotmim Zelotov Zeh. How about if the Nekev. Actually, it's a nekev between the two chotmim. So if it's mibachutz, if this is visible on the outside, so then it's a mum. But mibitnim, if the septum is punctured, then ain't no mum. It doesn't really matter at all. By the way, yesterday I kept referring to the white of the eye of the vitreous body, which is not square. Vitreous body is inside. Yeah. It's clear. Not the white. This is loven, it's not the white. It's not the clear. Yes, sir. I just want to fix that missing.
There's the clear inside.
No, the vitreous body is the gel, the clear gel that's behind the pupil. That's
inside the filling of the
that you would see behind the pupil. That the Gemara didn't discuss. You often have that. You have floaters. You have things floating around in there, which you see sometimes that, bother your vision. They have like little black dots and things like that.
You can only see if you take out the eye. You can only see from the outside.
Yeah, I'm saying that's not what it's referring to. No, it was referring back to the sclera. Sifatoshenikva is a reference to Amrapapatura broad, so say. We're talking about the outside row. In other words, that wall-like division, not just the soft tissue itself, which splits all the time.
What about a piercing? And these pierce.
So it wouldn't matter. It was in the Safam, it's women they used to. They still do. How old are your kids?
Pierce nose.
Oh, nose. That's that. Then if it would be the size of a without a concern. It would be the correct size. They don't think I mean. Yeah, we spoke about that. That we had the same child in the ocean. They put in, tanks. Chutin hakitzonot shenivgemu v'shenigmumu. We had this already twice before. All along, we followed basically the Rabbeinu Gershon's shot, which even in Rashi, the Rashi, for the Kutner, a simple reference to Shinayim. Lamaisa, there's really a three-way machlokus as to what the Kutim are. There seem to be, to me, it's Mashma, there's Kiras in Rashi, I haven't been able to figure out. But here it's Mashma and Rashi, also the Kutim are basically the supportive structure in the gum. Or it's the area that faces the teeth, which is the hard tooth-like. Remember, there's only teeth on the bottom. There's like a bony structure on top against which the teeth of the ungulate, what's it called?
Like a pad.
Well, it's not a pad. It's hard. But it's a surface that the teeth grind against, but it itself isn't tooth. So there are others who learn, the Rambam says it's the ridge of the gum. He's also referring to the same area. It looks like chutzim. And the pneumius, the Rambam Bechlal is the whole different shot, but the pneumius is actually an extension of the throat. It's referring to the sharp, which could be what we were learning before about the Shibuikova in Elutrephus. So according to him, it's Bechlal not even referring to the pneumius, it's not referring to teeth, which is, clearly there's some mandion in what we are that are referring to the area of the teeth, as we'll see in a moment. Because Reb Chanina ben Antignus Amen, and both kin min ha-tiyomin, the lichnim, aflo et ha-tiyomin. And the tiyomin, again, the Rambam has to change this to mean something entirely different. The pashas going to all the Rishonim is that tiyomin is another word for molar. Why? Because the molar consists of two teeth, essentially, that are matimot. They're one up against the other. That's what distinguishes a molar from all of the other teeth. So we call those the double teeth. It's yours. No. The actual tooth itself has two surfaces that are bowlay that you grind on them and between them. Whereas the other teeth are just teeth. Either the canine tooth or all the nose. They're sharp or they're blades. But over here, they're grinders. So then they're a whole different shape. So that we call tiyomis. The Rambam learns, again, that this is referring to structures in the throat that he's referring to. Turn around on it. Hatiyomis, you say tiyomis. What exactly is the shiur of here? Ezel tiyomis? I mean, some take out even that opening word, because we don't really mazber what tiyomis is. Ezel tiyomis, minat tiyomis v'lifnim, and tiyomis atzakilifnim. So, from the first molar and back, is not considered to be a mum. We know Batika, Tanis Reb Chanina Ben Antignus, is simply not visible enough. Reb Yeshua Ben Kafusoi, we saw it before, the Samach, is usually the way it's spelled. Ein Shochtim Ela Alakitsenes Bavad, which is saying exactly the same thing, and it's not. The Gemara is going to explain all this in a moment. And Reb Chanina Ben Antignus, a name, Ashkitim on the Yomish Kalikar, is again saying the same thing. Michael Amar, somebody explain this, please. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi also didn't make sense. That's what the Tana Kama said. Really, you don't pay any attention. You haven't done any attention. And he's saying that the Yomis, which is what the Tana Kama was referring to Kilatim. We're missing something over here. Here's what it could say. Ezeru ha-pnimit. What do you call the inner, either gum, plate, tooth? What's called the pnimit, depending on what shot? Minat yomit from the doubling of the teeth, or it's from the point that they become molars, the lifnim. And the first yomit is kilifnim. So tainet tzadakam. Ba'med varim amurim, which is missing, shinim yimu vishinig yimu. Abonek. Ooh, this is that when we're talking about if you have a tisarim, but if you, the whole area was missing, or if it's referring to the plate, the area kneged. The two shochti. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi, I'm like, nah, ain't shochti in all of his sinness. In pnimiyot, even if they're nekru, mishpat lo shachtin on a liar, you still don't check. But, I can't say to be makriv it. In other words, the mum it's not to be makriv shechita, but it's also not called homi. In other words, he introduces now a distinction, which is going to become very important to us in the sugya. Tamim versus Chaser, and Bamum, which means that it's already the state where you're allowed to eat it. klamat roya mizbeach. So there's an element that is called, meant to be for the mizbeach, but it's like there's something on it doesn't allow me to bring it. It isn't tamim. That's called kisoyim. And then there's the concept of amur. Could be different issues. A kisoyim may even include, as we'll see, things that aren't visible. Suppose it's missing a kidney. It's chaser. Certainly not amur. Nobody notices it. We got to ask the amur should have gone. We learn it out. So he's telling Rav Yehoshua ben Kufusari that the pneumias are indeed a chisoyim, but they're not amur. Whereas Rav Chanina ben Antipas is saying, "Ein mashkicha matiyom is kolikah," meaning it's meaningless. Zaman called a chisoyim. And our tefillah mitzvah is to even bring it to the mizbeach because it's loyis. Boy, Rabbah, to boy, barami. So let me ask you something. Yesh b'chusra even me b'tzins, what a whole organ is missing. Obviously, one that isn't marked, and we're talking about trade would be another psul. Oh, ein b'chusra even b'tzins. What are you referring to? Referring to b'chor? It says the fair, the seachoy there. I mean, that's b'chutz. Kachim, also says Averto Shavuot. No. You don't hear what I'm asking. Again, I'm not asking if it's a mum. It's not a mum. I'm not saying you can be paid at it. I'm not saying you can check it if it's a bechor. Keep coming by and leave Sule. I'm asking. When the Torah says it has to be tamim, is that similar, meaning tamim begoloi, or tamim even inside? So this tamim yelaratzim, what's the meaning of that? My tamim yelaratzim, not one. That tamim in chisaron lo, or is it pshat? Tamim yelaratzim, it should say, not lirabot. That's very confusing. Tamim yelaratzim komum lo yeva. In other words, it's comparing the tamim, the din of tamimut, which is not to be chafer, to the din of mum. So just like a mum, we've explained, has to be mavroi. So then the tamim only relates to the avroi, but not a chisoyim mibifnim. You see how we've come down, we originally were not sophisticated enough. Well, everybody thinks. And there's so many psukim that make it clear that that's not the case, because otherwise every mention of tamim versus mum is somewhat redundant. You tell me tamim, tamim. You tell me not about mum. Tamim yelera tamim, the same thing. Not the same thing. There's a level of tamimah that is necessary for the mizbeach. And then there's a getter of mum that passes legabi pidyon to take it out of Rishus of Hekdesh total, or to make it in the case of a bechor that doesn't leave Rishus of Hekdesh, that gives it now to the shulchan of the kohen. Those are two different questions. So I'm asking whether the Torah is making a hekesh in the din of tamimahs, the lafuki echisorim, if it seems to mum, which is also only mibachutz. Tashma. The etshtei haklayot. What was the etshtei haklayot? That not an animal is about kulya hakas, and not an animal is about shalosh kulyas. Etshtei haklayot, that's defining the animal. The tanya ina, but the other man says no. Then it says yisirena. It's like yisirena. If you're talking about etshtei klayot, how are you only being made here? One. Because yesirena is equivalent to saying yesir otah. You see over here that even if there's one kulya, that that's sufficient. So now, what's the mafokus? So, we assumed initially that the kulyama in birya ba'atas. Everybody is made of that there's no such thing as an animal that is made now with one kulya. And therefore, v'ham michtachos. So if I find one kulya, it's the pshat that something happened, and that other kulya is chaser. So now, if that's the case, what are they arguing now? So then you can mark them, that seems to be the answer to your question. You asked, what's the din? Is tamim compared to balmun? It's machlokas. Omrukhya bayasi? No. Not a machlokas. The kulayama yesh birya bayachas. The kisarim mitzvah shmei kisarim. Who says it's machlokas b'chlal? If everybody is made of that it's shayach to have a birya ba'achas, and that if indeed it was two and became one, that would be a pisar. Lo kasha. Maybe they're talking about two different cases. One is talking about congenitally, with two kidneys, and then it was chaser, and then it would be indeed achisarin. And the other man you was talking about, about kuya achas, yisirena, meaning it was congenitally. About kuya achas is fine. Because there is yisirena. Who says they're arguing this law? What do you mean, says the Gemara? How can you put together such a case of where it was nivra kachatchila, and you're saying where it was chaser, but nivra kachatchila but two, with the case of Baal Sholeish, which is clearly congenital. I mean, you can't, you're mixing up a congenital. You said either Baal Sholeish Kulia, you're certainly not telling me somebody added a Kulia, because then that means that the Baal, you said the low Baal Sholeish Kulia, low Baal Kuliakas, what are you telling me? The low Baal Kuliakas is talking about a Kisaran. The low Baal Sholeish Kulia is talking about congenital. Come off it. Now, I'm clearly saying it's congenital, so how are you saying that there's no machlokas? Ooh, that's bad. You're right. And it says, don't you show us about Shosh Mikorah, Pasha Mikorah? Okay, sorry. Let's try it this way. Elohacha b'yesh b'riyah b'yikorah k'mif. Maybe that's proof of the machlokas. In other words, if I hold, my sabr yesh b'riyah b'achas, my sabr ain't b'riyah b'achas, then that's proof for the shayu. And if ain't b'riyah b'achas, then you have to assume that you're looking at a chisaron. If yesh b'riyah b'achas, so that's the way it is. Sometimes you find only one kidney, which is certainly the case. We know many people are born with one kidney. Says Rav Yochanan, Kulei Alma ain b'riyah b'achas. Rav Yisraim Nibisim Shmei Chisar. You know what? You're ignoring a whole other possibility. It could be they're not arguing with Klal about the issue of discernment in this name. The Shaila is, at what point it was chaser, and they're not even arguing. Kanchikisra kedem shkita, kanchikisra yapa shkita. So maybe proof of the finish is, that if something is chaser after shkita, whether that he's saying it's not a discern, well, if it's not shkita, it is a discern.
And you know.
Wait a second. I mean, you see.
Like,
yeah, you shafted it.
Yeah,
it was fine. I came along the dog and ate it up.
No.
Chisaron. Now, we'll see that the pasuk is marva, that you need to have the same state, bishat, the zrika even, and we're going to ask that, as you had bishat shkita. In the middle, if there was a change, then you're in trouble. So if it became closer, so then there would be a problem. Asks the Gemara, wait a second, La'acha Shkita, you're talking about Pedim Kabbalah? No, it's before you had a chance to be Makabal Adam. That's when it was Chaser. No, that wouldn't be Mutter. Because the Amr of Izeramarav, let's say somebody goes to Sura and owes an Apar. He shifts the Par, and then he makes it a Baal Mum. It's already dead, you're talking about. Well, a Baal Mum, it's Eilach HaMum, God only there. It's about as big a Mum as you can get. Apati, get its parcel. Why? Shinema velakag midam ha-par. What's the ha-par? The same part that you had has to be the way that it looks now. So ha-par shayak var. Don't tell me that it was chaser after shkita. You can talk about chaser after kabbalah. Don't talk about shkita. Okay, fine. Elisha, chaser kerem kabbalah. No. That's not going to be enough. Do you think it's good enough? It's chaser. La'acha Kabbalah, then it's kosher. It's not true. La'acha Kabbalah, if it's before Zrika, is it kosher? Mishori Batanya Tzeh Tamim Zachar Ben Shana Yielachem Shiyeh Tamim Ben Shana B'Shat Shkita. Furthermore, how do I know even B'Shat Kabbalah Halacha Nazoya that it has to be a Tamim Ben Shana? Tamim Ben Shana Yieh means it has to be that way the whole time. Shiyu Kol Havayotav has to be Tam and Ben Shana. No. It's only referring to the Ben Shana part. What do you mean? The part about Hazoya Dapka is the Ben Shana, but that's a rather funny way to read it, isn't it? No. The Alkinarim is Tavah. It has to be that way. I know it sounds funny. But it has to be that way because the title of Yeshua Omer, Kol Azvachim Shebatorash Nishtayrim Kizayat Basar Kizayat Chelet. When we know that all we need is a kezayas, either of achilas kezayah or of achilas adam, in order to do zrika. You don't do zrika unless you have something to be mati. So you need a kezayas. What do you mean a kezayas? I thought you said it. If it's not whole b'shas zrika, it's not kosher. So what kind of gedayah is? So obviously, this can't be a reference to a whole. Nobody even raised that question. It's got to be that its birthday doesn't arrive between the Kabbalah and the Zrika. Understand, how does the birthday come between the Shechita and the Zrika? Amar Rav Zeisana shows Toslos the Kosher. This teaches us that a birthday, Ben Shana, is not the day, it's the minute.
That's a pretty serious reading reference.
But that means for a person, it's also, Harry Potter. He waits till the very moment, no, he doesn't, no, he's back, he goes back, so is Harry Potter. But there are many kids that will sit there and will look at their watch. There are many mothers who will look at the watch. At this moment, 15 years ago, you were born. And it's just back among them because of this.
Israelis.
Huh?
Israelis.
Not Israelis. No, yeah. Israelis. Not the day, but the Israelis, literally, that moment. Leibet Ketamoy. This issue that we have a Rav Achzibon of whether a chisaron mibitznim is considered to be a chisaron seems to be a machlokes tanoim. Why? Because we had before the shaila by the Saris. The Saris talks about ma'uch, chatut, natuk, the chavut. Okay, so we talked before about crushing. Now there's two levels of crushing. It's crushing, and then there's chatut, means to grind into nothing. The katut would mean to literally put through a grinder. Natuk, if you're going to pull off, assuming we're referring to testicles, although we'll see in a moment. So then you're, if you're ripping with your hand, then you're obviously going to tear everything. If you're karut with a knife, so then you can be careful what it is that you cut, how much you cut, and so on. All of these tshulim, kulam bebeitim, give a review of them. What do you mean kulam bebeitim? You're saying these are dafka pegamim and testicles, but not bebeitim velo begid? That if you actually will grind away the genitals of the animal, then it's okay? That doesn't make any sense. One is begoloi, and bebeitim you could say nobody's going to notice. But certainly, how can you say that the actual gid itself is not a pegam? No. Of course, it means emahav bebeitim. There'll be reviewed as chiddushes. That even though you think, basically, who's going to know the difference? That's also considered to be a pagan. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Amer, no. Kulam begid. All of these pagamim are only if it's actually visible. So now, Rebbe Yossi Amer, Rebbe Yossi says, well, it depends. If you're talking about ma'uch v'katut, then that's true v'beitzim. If you're talking about natuk v'charut, that's dafka begid in the beitim lo. Now, what could the machlokas be? So my labakam ipogeh. L'chayra, if we ignore for a moment Rabbi Yossi, ma'asav ha-chisaron bebitim shmei chisaron, u'ma'asav ha-lo shmei chisaron. I understand that I can't see. Good. But if there's a chisaron, it's a chisaron. So seeing all this bitim, so then it won't be possible as mum, it'll be possible as chisaron. I won't be able to bring it to Mizbeah. And that would be the shayrut. I can't bring that. Nah, come on, Zizbra. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold? I mean, you're trying to give us an elegant solution to a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, and you leave Rabbi Yossi in the middle without any hesber. So what do you think he holds? I mean, if he holds chisaron mibitzim shmei chisaron, so why is it natuk v'charut v'pagam? And if he holds that a chisaron mibitzim is lo shmei chisaron, so even ma'uf v'chatut, which is completely crushed and gone, it still be b'tzim, so nami lo. Therefore, I'm telling you it's a completely different issue. It's not a shiloh chisaron. It's a shiloh mumin. And the point over here is mumin sheb galui. How much is galui? What do we mean by galui? You'll notice how this goes really along with the issue that was raised in the Mishnah about whether the chutim apnimim are considered to be a pagam. The three main machlokes we had in the Braisa. Because there too, we said before, heck of the pai, if it has its mouth wide open, and it's shouting, that you'll notice if the chutim apnimim are negro. Okay, but is that called the galui? So in other words, this issue also, interestingly enough, tied directly into the issue the Mishnah raises in your mind. So what do we really mean by galut? You have a problem, contestables. It's a b'chutzah. How are you going to I'll notice.
Symptom.
It's possible. No, I'm more than a symptom.
Yeah.
I can actually see in the scrotum if I look carefully. I mean, are there testicles in there? There's not in them. It's possible to see. But to say that that's called the galut, maybe not. So maybe that's exactly what the issue is over here. So Manman Yama holds like this. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Ma'uch Vikatut Havi Muna, that the reason that I say that crushing is a mum is because the Mechafza. If you take a look at the scrotum, you see that it's Mechuvas. Because now it's it shrivels a little bit. Because there's nothing in there. Natuk v'charut is also a mum. Why? Because the opposite happened. Since now the testicles are hanging loose, so that means the scrotum is always extended. So that's called the goli. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, you can't call that the goli. Why? Because even though you see it, it's not necessarily a symptom of a mum. Because normally you have a scrotum that is mitkabet. In other words, if the animal is very cold. So it will retract the testicles. The scrotum will now be mitkabet. If it's very hot, so the opposite will happen. So how do you know whether you're looking at a mum or whether you're looking at just standard variations? So therefore, mostly katut, you can't call that a mum. Mekarnamis into the mechatzan. You will find sometimes, Rashi interestingly will use the word mechatzan, retracts or retired. Retired is already a different issue. But it's similar to that. It's a retraction. Natuk the charut lo having moment to be karnami in the detalia. You can often find that you have the testicles that are pressing out against the scrotum. So the mela, even though what I see is a moon, but I don't see a moon. It doesn't immediately say to me, look at this, something's wrong with this animal. Rabbi Yossi says, look, you have to deal with the concern element, not with the moon element. I agree with you, it's not the goal. But, I mean, the shaila is like this. What am I looking at? I'm ma'uch v'katut. It's chotzer. It's all less than. It's not there. Ma'uch v'katut means I don't have any more beitzim here. Matuk v'charut lo havi mumadah. He's still the mice is there. So what's it? If he's sarn, if he's sarn, it's not. So what is it? The mumad's not the goal. Then that I agree with you. Retreat. And retreat, retract, or retire. They're all related.
So, like the birth stage of the animals, isn't there a shana for animals that were born before?
But that's not to determine the din of ben shenasei. Remember, we medayk shenasei shalom, v'lo b'minyan olam, or we were medayk the pasuk shana b'shana, that there's two different dinim. There's the din in what is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser in terms of what goes in together to be Meiser. And then there's the question, having made it Meiser now. It could have been made Meiser when it was 7 days old. It could have been made Meiser when it was now 340 days old. How soon do I have to shift it? The same. That has to do not with the year. That has to do with your year. That's the Ben Shema service. Right.
So
the
Kavanot went by the...
By the personal year, Shnosei.
So
each
sheep
had
to know
that. Had that, exactly, yeah. You had to, that's right, you had to put chips in the sheep. Now the question is, you know, can you connect the chip to the year? You have to connect it to the different
parts. When they bought the Kavanot...
Low pressure.
When they bought the
Kavanot,
that's
a
man. Well, you can tell. You can tell. I mean, you get used to animals. There's simonim, how old an animal is.
Not in the hour.
Not in the hour. That you'd have to know. Okay, so here we're talking about a case when you knew.
And farmers do keep breeding records.
For sure. Yeah, they write. They used to write them in the ear with indelible ink before they had the. You could have a record, mamish, that was written on the whether with tattoo. Nitgam hazoven. So here we have things that don't have actually a human equivalent. Many of the mumin have human equivalents. So we'll see whether the mumin back then are similar. But by the animal, you have a penis sheath, which no longer is is there, especially after a mila, there's no longer anything that's similar even to such a thing. So nivgam hazoven, if the zoven itself, the sheath itself, has a pegima in it, but fascinatingly, if it's removed completely, if you give a bris, so to speak, to an animal, it will grow back. The zoven will grow back. It only doesn't grow back if it's only pogrom, that's a good violation. You grab it, it'll heal and stay that way. But if it's totally removed, then it will grow back, which lamaita becomes now the riot, one of the important riots that Texas brings yesterday about can you fix a mum? Because l'chaira, every time you have a pagam, all you have to do is cut off the zoven and let it grow back, it'll grow back whole. Right. So then it's always surgically treatable. So then you should have a mum, which call that a mum either, by definition. Here we're calling it a mum kabua. That's one of his big riots, that surgical treatment doesn't change anything. In its current method, it's a mum kabua. The intervention is a radical intervention, and it won't be there, but you can't find it. It's over because I'm going to fix it. Or obviously it's interesting by a bechor, which is only a male, but the labia that also would have a pegima in it. Obviously only the mugdash, like a korban shlomi. Nivgam hazanav. It's another thing that most humans don't have. So you have a tail that has a pegima, but only in the area of the tail where there's an actual etzem by the vertebrae of a lomina peret, not between the vertebrae. O shirosha zanav mifatzel. Mishnah b'kamachlokes over here in lashon. Rashi Tainas Mifatzel means that the skin has been rubbed off and that you can see the bone protruding in the tail, which happens very often. The tail gets damaged and so on. What's the Lashon? Yaakov Avinu was pitsu, the ratim, means that he's peeled the wood. So here too means the tail became peeled. Mom, it's such a beautiful thing. Tosu says it's all very nice to say Beloshon Mikra that we would use that. We never find that in the Gemara. The Gemara always used the word Nikla. So Loshon of Mishnah for peeling is Kilut. Pitzul is always used for bifurcation. Something that splits into two. It's Mitzpatzel. It's a completely different sense. So therefore, Tosu, for instance, Mitzpatzel meaning that the bone divides into two bones. Mom is a whole different Indian. It's beautiful to see the development of the language. No, he's not arguing the first thing in the Torah, of course. That's where we always say, the food salot we had before, Lagabi, the horns of Achaya. The food salot, Lakana, Lakana. That they split up into directions, or that's what Pitzuli means. Certainly doesn't mean that in the Torah, that's true. But we had many examples. Lashon Mikra Lachud. We had by Rechelis earlier in the Masechta. Lashon Mikra Lachud, Lashon Chachorim Lachud. What did he bring me a riot from Yaakov Avinu? Osh Hazanav mit Mapsil, or Mapsil Etze. Osh Yesh Basar ben Chulia Lachulia Mole Etzva. In which the tail is extended to the point that you have a full etzpa between the vertebrae in the tail. Oh, Rebbe Lazar, when you say nivgam, it's nivgam, but not nital. If it was taken off completely, the sheath, then it's not a pagam because it grows back. And it's dafka, the kiss itself. It does not mean that you affected in any way the actual zachrus of the animal. That wasn't touched. Or, if you had touched it, that's not what we're talking about. The zachrus is not a mum. Even if it would be nivgam. Because the zachrus itself, on the penis itself, it will grow back. It's like any other sore, it grows back. It's not in a place that's not going to, like on a nose or on a lip and so on and so forth, but it stops too. That will grow back.
Isn't that the gist?
Yes.
What? Before they mention the
gist,
does something else
have? No, zachrus is another word for gist, yeah. He said the reason we have to distinguish it here is because we're talking about zoven. In other words, we were distinguishing Yid from Beit Yid, which is normally the way the language that we would use. Over here, we're just distinguishing the Zachrus from the Zoven. And the reason that we use Zachrus, remember, is that Zachrus doesn't really mean penis. Zachrus means anything that sticks out. So if you're trying to distinguish, in other words, the Zoven is the Nachrus in which the Zachrus is, you're talking about a male plug or a female socket. Use the same motion over there. You obviously don't mean the sex of the plug. You mean something that sticks out, is something that goes in. A neck ever. We find it all over, sure, by Schaefer, by Mikalagabi Sukha, by Chitim, and so on. So that here we're not, the Zachrus is a borrowed term. It happens to be in this case. The Zachrus is actually a Gid, but it's almost a coincidence.
It's a technical term,
exactly. So the Zachrus itself is not the issue, it's the kids that's the issue, because over there you can actually get a pogam that will not grow back. Tanya Nami, Hachi, Nidgam below, Nito, kids below Zachrus. Omer of Yossi ben Amashulam, indeed there was a mighty be'invo, be'achat shenot lo ze'eb, be'chazar le'etano. There was an animal where the zoved was bit off and grew back. Nidgima azanav min ha'etzen. Etzba she'omru, when we talk about etzba, that this mimer that was in a braisa was a kabbalah in a braisa, it wasn't said on our Mishnah. Our Gemara is relating it to our Mishnah because that's one of the applications of the braisa, as we'll see. But it's not clear in the braisa when you say etzba she'omru. There's a lot of etzba she'omrus. Which etzba she'omru are you talking about? I mean, what's the summary that this means? What's the model for etzba? Which mishnah are you referring to in the braisa? But that this is true of all etzbos. Others tiny that since the braisa, we keep looking for the application of this braisa. It's mashma that the statement is not said on every etzba that we talk about. And remember that etzba has a lot of different shiurim, because we could be talking about the etzba, meaning the agudal, which is the thumb. So the agudal is now the standard shear based on his rights of etzba. But I mean, we also have the etzba of the etzba katana, in which you have six etzbos in a tefach instead of four etzbos in a tefach. You could be talking about an etzba that you have five, an etzba, normal etzba, five and two thirds. Pointing finger. So, I mean, when you talk about an etzba in the Mishnah, what do you mean? So etzba she'omru echad me'arba'a b'tefach, it means one fourth of a tefach, which is to say it means a thumb of a standard adam. So what was this said on? Mamai yochasa. Again, sometimes it means mamai yochasa mamish, and not elsewhere. Others say on what was it said, but it's always yochasa. Leading chelas. The time we had our famous bachlok is back in the office. Kama chutim unotim, bechana mimarba, bechelor amrim shlosha. Kama te'e mishuleshet. The mishuleshet is a machlokis, what the mishuleshet means. How much should it be? In other words, what part of it is gedil, and which part of it is anap? Or mishuleshet in the sense of hanging down, mishalshel, something. How far down should it hang from the hole? Tosfos doesn't like this. That's always always we bring the shear in terms of a good all over there. How come all of a sudden we're changing it? In any event, bechamayomim arba'ah, bechilolim shlosha bishlish, shebechilolim echad mi arba betepach shall call adam. That's what it's referring to. We're trying to give what is the etzba that we're talking about. It's talking about a good old Ravuna Breder of Yishorman. No, I wasn't referring to that at all. I was referring to the Mishnah of the Shtei Amos. Which Shtei Amos? The Shtei Amos that were on the Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira was the Shah into the Beis HaMikdash on the Shai Mizrahi. So there was a porch over there that had a picture of Shushan Abira on it. And they kept there, they stored two measurements that were used for measuring the workmen's amos. If somebody had agreed to supply a certain amount of work, we'll see what kind of work, It was measured by these amas, and to put the workman at a disadvantage, that he should have to supply more than he agreed to, it was slightly larger than the standard amah, and that was in order to avoid me'ila. So we'll measure, as you agreed, as a poel, to supply 4 amas, meaning standard amas. You're going to actually have to supply 4 non-standard amas that are 1 etzpa, or 1.5 etzpa longer than the normal amas.
Only for hetzes?
Only for hetzes. So there were two on the Kerem, one was on the Kerem Mizrachis Tzfonis, and one is on the Kerem Mizrachis Dromis, on the porch. Shal Kerem Mizrachis Tzfonis, the northern side, was a chatzi etzpa larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's amah. And the Kerem Mizrachis Dromis on the southern side of the porch was larger than that one by another chatzi amah, which means that in total it was a full etzpa, nimtzei yeter al shamosha etzpa. What were the purpose of these larger amahs? I mean, usually we destroy anything that isn't an accurate measurement. So lama ayu achakdu lava chaktana bichlam. I mean, why do we have this? Shiyu umanim notlim biktana machzim begdola. They should make up a standard amah that they're going to supply, but we measure what they supplied by this amah. Why? Shelo yavoli de mi'ila. So then, tarti lomeli, why do I need 2? Why can't I have 1? Because then they're going to take money. They'll say, well, we measured this as a meter.
Right.
Turns out it was actually a 3 millimeters less than a meter, which means that a pruta of what they were paid was hegdesh. They stole it.
They stole
the finishers. Why do we need 2? 1.5 etzpa, 1 full etzpa? It depends what you're working with. As if you're dealing with gold work, we're going to do a whole etzpa. I mean, that's too reasonable. So chata the katsu is a hava. We're over there. You'll only measure a little bit extra. I'll show you chati etzpa. But if he's working on binyan, if he said he was going to build a wall that's an amma, then that's it'll be an amma with another full etzpa. So over there's binyan, he has to supply it with the larger one.
Before I mentioned, he had to supply the. Oh.
Yeah. Let's say he agreed to supply an amma tas for the Kal Ya'ire in gold, right? Or in brass, in silver. So when we measure it, we don't take a normal meter to measure it. We take this special meter that in order for it to be a meter, it needed to be longer than a meter. That way, he's losing, but that's what takes into consideration originally. Because he knows he's going to have to deliver.
Does that
take him? That's up to him. Anyway,
we take
our best offer. So whatever he's doing in his mind is his
best offer.
Yeah, the best offer we can get. We'll take.
No.
There's a competition. we'll take the best offer we can get.
Working for the data.
Lomaisa, the agreement. Exactly.
So
listen, take a look at the purveyors to Her Majesty the Queen. I mean, the purveyors to Her Majesty the Queen didn't get a very good price on the milk that they delivered. But they got a good ad. No, the agreement is I'm supplying you a meter. I supply you more than a meter. There's nothing to discuss.
But if I'm charging, that's okay.
Price goes.
Price is the whole effect here.
Of course, the price is defined for meter. I'm saying what you do in your mind is something else.
As long as
there's competition and the specifications are in terms of normal meters. So you'll say, but you're messing up your suppliers because you're going to end up having to pay more. It could be. It's a possibility, and it doesn't change anything.
Everybody
takes consideration that there's necessarily a particular set price on work. Okay. If there is, they are short, then they're fine. So then the guy will have to accept that he'll lose the work for the maintenance. That's the way some learn. But if Lamaisa were open to competition, there's no set price that we're offering. So then what's the difference? This the specification that matters.
A worker generally wouldn't even take it into consideration. It probably wouldn't even come into consideration.
Even if it wasn't for the Mishkan.
Right.
So that's one possibility. The Nachman by Yitzchak, as it says, it says the branch is referring to Aaron Mishnah. That's why it is a Shaninu. She is bought to the Kulu Kulu Mala Yetzpah. What's Mala Yetzpah? Achas Biarba in the Amma, which is Agudo. That's why we brought it here, obviously. Again, as I told you, it's not what it's showing whether this is a reference to Eliyahu. Yes, yes, I go.